Well, welcome to the online version of Heritage Sunday. Now, if you happen to come by the church, you'll notice we're not there. There's a sign that says, "We are having Heritage Sunday at the pond." Don and Pat Singletary lets us use that facility down there once or twice a year, and it's a joy. We'll celebrate our heritage as Bethel and as Christians, and then we'll have a time of food fellowship afterwards. So hope and pray that maybe you can make it. I want to just to share with you a little bit of John chapter 14, starting at verse 15 through, verse 21. This is when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. Now, we do have Pentecost Sunday coming up June 5th. That's when we celebrate the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is a red letter edition, and this is Jesus saying this. "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you in the truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Excuse me, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And in just a little while, the world will not see me again, but you will. For I will live again, and you will too. When I am raised to life again, will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who obey my commandments are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them, and I will reveal myself to each one of them." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. That's what the church is all about. The church of Jesus Christ is the universal church. We say that in the Apostles' Creed, one holy Catholic church. That means we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we come together in fellowship, and we call it coming together in church. But do you ever wonder or even think about why you should belong to a church? Billy Graham, one of the most famous evangelists of our day and time, of course now went home to be with the Lord. He was preaching in Australia, and he was telling the story of a Baptist who wandered into an Episcopalian church for worship. And he was amazed at all the standing up, the kneeling, the sitting down that went on during the service. But he was so pleased that the sermon was the same joyful gospel. Though a portion of the service he didn't quite understand, but he did know that he was being blessed. So this Baptist shouted out, "Amen, brother!" The usher in the Episcopalian church came down the aisle and he tapped him on the shoulder and he said, "We don't shout amen in here." The man said, "But I got religion." And the usher said to him, "Well, you may have, but you didn't get it here." We have the Gideons with us this week, and there's a lot of service clubs, and one of the service clubs is the Rotary Club. And a man was boasting that at a meeting that he worked for a company that was founded in 1874. Well, the president of the Rotary Club asked if anyone was representing a firm older than this fellow's. Well, the Christian minister stood up and they all smiled, and then they realized that he was correct. You know, the church is as old as creation. Think about the first Pentecost, when 3,000 were baptized into the church. Now, that was really something. The church was so alive and so vital that the scriptures say that the men preached as if they had tongues of fire. Well, the church is an interesting place, and I love the church. And it's always good to tell stories about the church. There were two persons talking outside of a very large church, which was being destroyed by fire. the first men spoke to the other one, and he could be heard above the voice of the fireman. And one guy said to the other fellow, he said, "This is the first time I ever saw you at church." And the other fellow responded, "Well, this is the first time I ever saw the church on fire." Think about that. There are many prophets of doom saying that the age of the Christian church is over, the church has lost its zeal. And I admit, we're taking a beating right now in this country and around the world. Our theology is being questioned, and a lot of people are writing a lot of critical issues against the organized church. We as the church, though, need to take a biblical view on some of the current social issues. Some news programs are even attacking the ministry of the church. We have annual conference coming up soon, and they are taking a different view on what's going to happen at our annual conference. And society even tells the young folks it isn't the thing to do anymore, joining a church. John Kelman, an old-timey preacher, said this: "God pity the nation or cities whose factories' smokestacks rise higher than the church steeples." Well, we don't have too many factory smokestacks anymore, but we do have a lot of high-rises. And I've just been thinking about it, and I want to give us several reasons why I belong to the church and why I think you should consider to be a part of the church. Now, I know that you're here this morning, so most of us are already a part of the church. But think about this. We should belong to the church because we ought to be better than we are. How do you like that? Henry Ward Beecher once said, "The church is not a gallery for exhibition of prominent Christians, but a school for the education of imperfect ones." Now, that's something to think about, isn't it? But we as Christians especially talk about this, that the fact that we are sinners and we're not doing God a favor or the congregation when we join, but we are very imperfect as individuals, and the church as an institution is also imperfect. But we as Christians need to be open to criticism, and that even includes the pastor. I'm not beyond criticism. In fact, if you have something to say or comment about what I do and what I preach, I'd love to hear it. Then we should never claim to be perfect in the first place. God knows I'm not. And if someone asks you, "What's the chief trouble with the church?" you tell them, "It's you and me. We are in it together, and we are sinners." And we need to do better and be better. No doubt about that. And this is where we can learn and get help. The other thing, I think we should belong to a church because of what I can give to it and through it, as well as what I may get out of it. You know, we get an awful lot out of church sometimes, and we don't even realize it. When I first started going back to church, after I sobered up, some of my buddies said, "Why do you go down there for an hour?" I said, "I tell you, I don't know, but I'm getting something out of it." Thank God it continued to grow. And the church is not a dormitory for sleepers, despite what you say from time to time. Not picking on anybody. I know there ain't nobody in Bethel sleeps during my sermons. But it is an institution of working and workers. It's not only a rest camp. It's a front line like a trench. It's here as an organization that provides the opportunity, the toil, and the tools for equipment to help us to serve God and to serve others. The New Testament knows nothing of Christians unattached. They got together, they pulled their strength and know-how and resources. In fact, they have had each other in order to survive. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes 2. Two are better than one. Well, the church got organized. and they can make an aggressive impact on a community. That's what happened here at the Bethel Pond in 1834. So join with me because of what we can give it and what we contribute through it, and celebrate the founding of this little church here at Bethel Pond. One of the other things I think we should belong to a church is because every person should pay their debts and do their share towards discharging the obligation of society. We are in a society. Jesus says we're not of this world, but we're in the world, and we got to do all this worldly stuff, and we need each other. Not only has the church been the bearer of the good news of personal salvation and provider of the sacraments, baptism, and Holy Communion, but it's been the supreme uplifting and conserving agency of the society. Here's the champion of the good that we want to support. Amen. And in a day when so many organizations tear down and tear apart and dismantle all that we call sacred and right, I want to belong to an organization that still champions the good, don't you? Now here's an organization where mean people are taught to be kind, selfish are taught to share, proud to be humble, themselves sorrowful and become joyful. Here in the church, unlovely are loved, and undeserving are respected, and the griper, the complainant, the haughty, the arrogant, the scared are all listened to and are comforted. Here, we should build bridges instead of walls. Here, we need to belong despite your color or your financial position or even your politics. So, I joined the church in order to do my part, and I hope you did too, and fulfill my obligation to contribute to a better community and a better world. I think we should belong to a church because of memories. Wow, here we are, Heritage Sunday. Memories of high moments in our life, memories of those times when I was at my best and when God was the closest. Such memory as these come from my church, growing up. Memories of things that I can never forget, and memories of faces that will never fade. Memories of promises that are the glory of our youth, and it was here that we were baptized into God's kingdom. It was the church that was confronted and comforted as I laid my father to rest as he passed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And it was here in the church that I have often communed with my family. It was here in the church where I knew dreams and ideals that have a way of coming true in this life and later on with eternal life. So why should we belong to a church? I think that the church is the great keeper of those great high points of our life and the receptacle of our greatest days. I think we should belong to a church because of hope. There is a hope in the church that lives when promises are dead, and that paves the way for progress. It's a glorious hope and a lively hope that envisions peace and true social justice, that people can still love one another as Jesus taught them to. It is a hope for all time to come and a hope for eternity. The great hope that casts its anchor behind Jesus Christ in a pessimistic and chaotic and dismal day when people seem to be at each other's throats, when hatred and violence and crime running rampant. There comes from the promise of Christ and the hope of the saved and the church of hope. I think we all want to belong to an organization that still has that kind of hope. The hope that we can be good stewards of the earth and survive pollution, and that we can have peace among the races and all the different countries of the world. I think all of us are a little sick of the prophets of Dune and making fun of everything and everybody and tearing down all that has been held sacred, or right. So it's with enthusiasm that we might say of the church, think what the church has been and can come more worthy because of your presence. So I joined, and I hope you do, support the church. Support pastors, teachers, programs that have the hope and the peace and the love and social justice where we can see the possibility of a world community. Where marriage and family and sex and possessions are put in the proper perspective. That's the appeal of Christ to his followers. It's because we need that kind of crusading spirit. That is why we need to belong to the Church of Jesus Christ. So the question is this: why should we join the church? Because of the strong people in it need reinforcing. We need each other. It's true that people are laying on it on the line again in our day and time in order to support the Christian church. Oh yeah, there's strong people who need our support and weak people who need our encouragement. So why do I belong to the church? And I think I'll continue to belong to the church until I am ready to join a more growing concern. Not until I'm waiting to become an active partner with Christ, then let there be no mistake about it. It is his church, it's his spirit that this organization is all about. I want to close with this. A country minister in preaching a funeral sermon said, this corpse here has been a member of this church for 20 years. That may be so of many of our members, but the church is not dead, nor ready to be buried. We can live victoriously amidst the troubles and the fear and the crisis of this life. And it is the church that can enable us to do just that. So let us remember that is our way, our heritage, to be on fire, to commit ourselves to this cause called Jesus Christ and his church. A famous preacher was once asked why his church was so splendidly successful. And his answer was this: that he preached the Word of God on Sunday, but he had 450 members who took up his message on Monday and preached it wherever they went. That's the challenge. And I ask and I invite you to join me and all of us with this kind of cause that we have called the church. Hope and pray you're having a good day.